Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all celebrate one more year of Scott's birthday. To do that, we have the Chimney Rock Elevage from Stags Leap District in California. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, tonight,
I know. This is like Jazzy Wine Vault.
It is, and I am joined by a birthday boy, a man who is 1 year closer to fine, Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Yes, yes.
Thanks for the lead-in.
Henry said at dinner the other night, when we were having our Valentine's like dinner Saturday night, Rob said something like, Scott's birthday's on Monday. And Henry goes, yeah, Dad, he's 107. Like,
no, 117.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad, we know.
I never told him that. He said that.
He was mocking you and your
yes,
bad jokes.
He was. Mm. He was.
I don't know.
Yeah, Dad.
I think he thinks you're that old. I don't think you're that old. I think you're only 104. Also on the show tonight, she has been very busy with certain party preparations, but it is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening. She suggested that she needed to be on the show tonight so no one would get the wrong idea.
That's not true.
That's true. She said that. She needs to keep the deception up. Whatever that means.
What does it mean that you're saying? She said?
I'm loosely translating it because she did in fact say it in Russian. I'm just saying.
Oh.
On tonight's show, we are celebrating Scott's birthday. And to do that, not just any wine will do.
Wow.
So I went into the wine vault and I pulled out a Napa Valley Classic, Stag's Leap Classic, from Chimney Rock, their Elevage Red Wine Blend from Napa Valley, Stag's Leap District particularly. It is.
Rob went through probably 20 wines to get here.
And some were not going to be on the show tonight, but she
just weren't ready.
No. But this is 53% Merlot, 33% Cabernet, 9% Petit Verdot, and 5% Cab Franc.
Ooh.
So it is a classic, well, California version of a Bordeaux blend. Becky briefly paused us there because Scott, here when he came, he had the wine for the second episode in a bag, and he dropped it and broke it on the floor.
I was attacked by a vicious animal.
His bow tripped him, right?
Yeah. And so Bo's been trying to drink the remnants, which are in the rug.
The cement.
But it is. It
he's
was.
He's not trying to drink it. He's drinking it.
It was a Grand Selezion Chianti Classico. Yeah. So it's not just any wine. It's a fine Italian wine. And Bo obviously can taste that.
Went to set my backpack down. The dog jumped off the couch, got behind me, hit the backpack, and it was a foot off the ground.
He also stole your wallet when he was doing all that, too. That was just a ruse.
Well, I had already put that away. I'm used to that.
Expert pickpocket. So, yes, as I said, 53, 33, 9, and 5.
I didn't hear that. What is it, 53?
33, 9, and 5.
Oh, I see it. Merlot, it's all Cab. There. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Petit Verdot.
Yes.
Oh, and Cab Franc.
14.8% alcohol. Now, retail price for this wine. This is the 13 vintage. We wanted it to be properly aged. Current vintage, if you go on their website, is $120 of your dollars. I paid $37. Thank you, Kroger, for not knowing what you had on the shelf. They accidentally had it marked down for the shirt.
Accidentally, like Scott's accident.
Yeah, Scott's accident.
Well, it's Rob's accident. I mm-hmm. just make the purchase. Rob,
I
does the shenanigans. And,
I didn't.
And I come up behind
false.
You.
You what?
I come up behind you to make the purchase.
I don't like what that sounds like. But there is a special story about Chimney Rock, and when we come back, I will tell it. It does not involve me, but it's pretty fucking awesome. So, folks, we're going to take a break because tonight we have many things to celebrate. We have Chimney Rock to celebrate. We have Scott's birthday to celebrate.
Happy birthday to me.
And we have the Wine Vault to celebrate. So we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Chimney Rock Elevage. Now, I said I had a story to tell, and I do. And this is probably true. And so this comes from crack.com, but I've read this other places. And this story starts off, and it's about a wonderful man that was in Roadhouse named Patrick Swayze. The story starts off, Patrick Swayze fancied himself a bit of a pilot. And on June 1st, 2000, he really emphasized that bit part. That's when Swayze, the victim of an apparent cabin depressurization, aimed his Cessna 414A in the general direction of an under-construction housing development near Prescott Valley, Arizona. Narrowly missed a parked truck, sheared off half the right wing on a street lamp, bounced through an intersection, and then took out a stop sign and another street lamp before finally crashing into an electrical box, jarring to a stop. Miraculously, no one on the ground was hurt, and all three passengers, Swayze and his two dogs, emerged unscathed and staggeringly, impressively drunk. Construction workers Brian Nelson, Adam Martin, and Joshua Angel approached the plane when Swayze, by some reports, so off his ass that he thought he'd successfully landed near his ranch in New Mexico, hurriedly convinced them to dispose of a 30-pack of Miller Lite, including 8 empties, from the plane's wing compartment. And an open bottle of Chimney Rock Cabernet Sauvignon from the cockpit. So,
how'd you find that?
I knew the story, so I Googled Patrick Swayze Chimney Rock plane crash. He bummed a ride from somebody, hid in town for 12 hours, and they couldn't find him, and then he was sober by the time they tested him. However, the three people that helped him dispose of the beer, they got convicted of misdemeanors.
What?
And the article was, Four Beloved Celebrities Who Were Secretly Terrible. That was the article. And that's how, that's why when I saw
Chimney Rock.
Oh, yeah, because I knew Patrick Swayze drinking it from the bottle in an airplane with his two dogs.
It's like Sinbad, if it was going to be this kind of part.
That's awesome.
Right.
That's just fucking awesome. No one got hurt, so it's awesome. But still, man, pain don't hurt. So, Now. On to the wine. There are some reviews.
Oh.
Well, wait a second. This is Welford.
I can do the tasting.
No, I'm doing that.
A Satiny Stag Sleep Bordeaux blend, dark and concentrated with ripe, generous black plum and toasty vanilla oak. And then he does the breakdown.
Just to point this out, just like I'm not allowed to be part of the
wine
tasting
enthusiast,
panel, she stops me from reading the tasting
wine enthusiast
panel.
What? Gave it a 92.
Hey, how was
this? This is an austere, elegant study in power and grace. Then the breakdown. I don't know why they all three did it.
What?
Substantial and tannin defined, as many of its brethren of this vintage. It shows cedar, pencil shavings, and a touch of tobacco. More savory than fruit driven. Drink now through 2023. Cellar selection.
That's correct. It was a cellar selection. Did you know that, Scott?
I didn't.
I heard it's your birthday.
Then it
Robert
is.
Parker
what?
Gave it a 91.
You're talking over me.
Deep ruby purple, beautiful fruit, and an elegant style that seems to serve as an impressive crossover between a traditional Bordeaux and the riper Napa Valley style. The wine has soft tannin, burgeoning complexity, and is impressive. Drink it now. Or drink it over the next 10 to 12 years. So we're right in the window. Robert Parker gave it a 91.
That's right. So, Scott, for your birthday, would you like me
All
to sing
people.
You a happy birthday?
Oh, that'd be great, Wilford.
Please don't.
Happy birthday. I can't do it.
You could.
No, I'm wearing sweatpants.
Just a couple stanzas.
Everybody would be, I would be embarrassed. I won't do it.
Okay. You've never been embarrassed before.
Don't objectify me. So
I've not The comment about it being, where did it go? More savory than fruit driven. I don't know in all the reviews that we've done if we've talked about, savory fruit. But I don't know that I've ever referred to a wine as savory. Over like, I mean, we've certainly talked about sweet wines, but a savory wine. And so that just is just something that I noticed is a really good descriptor of wine.
It's, and it's, the word savory is generally not used by a reviewer or winemaker notes.
Not yeah, really.
It's like such a foodie thing that people talk about.
We talk about savory fruit, though.
We do. They like to go around the bend to get to that, even though that's what they mean. Yeah. So
not necessarily savory fruit. Savory, like people talk about sweet versus savory food.
Well, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So, but let me explain to you.
Explain to me what I'm saying.
Euro wine, especially.
Euroberry.
But I think it's an app.
If I had a voice, I would do Wilford all day long, but I can't. So I'm infirm.
It's unusual. For a wine reviewer or a winemaker in their notes describing their own wine to use the term savory. Yeah. They'll talk about savory fruit, but they won't use that term. It's almost like it's a forbidden fruit to use the term savory. Like it's like somebody's not going to drink the wine because, what does that mean?
Yeah. Do you think it's an Illuminati plot?
I think that it is. I don't think it's Illuminati. I think that Scott was onto something when he said, like, people like to say, like, it's sweet, blah, blah, blah. But I think that savory might be a turnoff to people. Not to us, but I'm just saying it. I feel like it could be
a turnoff. I think there's a reason the term's not used, and that's what makes the most sense.
Yep.
Well, anyway.
On the nose.
I'm not going to do Wilford. Don't worry.
Or Willie.
I'll hide my voice.
Hello, this is Wilford Wong. This is Wilford Wong.
The nose is not as bold as what you'd think. I also would like for our listeners to notice, to note that my pour is half of
you
Rob
normally
and Scott.
Want half of that. You can
just
have more.
Just want to call that out.
Finish half. That, and then you'll get to the rest.
Mine might be a third of what Scott has.
I am just going on. He's
Scott
special.
Has a half glass.
He does have a half
He has
glass.
A very heavy-handed pour.
That's heavy-handed.
Actually, Rob has more.
No.
Yes.
Scott has what we call a Christian pour.
Right.
Becky has 2 millimeters splash. More.
Barely a splash.
Mm-hmm.
It barely covers the bottom of the glass.
Good. Well,
I can almost tell that it's red wine.
When you want a conga, you only want this much. So drops it. By the way, I almost bought drops of Jupiter's Pinot.
You should.
For why?
I would drink it on the show. I mean, not like.
Oh. No. I bought Oyster Bay Merlot instead.
Oh, yeah. You acted like it was a gift for me.
Yes, it's New Zealand. You
I
love
bought
it.
This for you.
The nose, though, is restrained. There's some cassis, blackberry, and a little vanilla and menthol, but.
Yeah. I was trying to get like the cedar tobacco that they talk about in the reviews. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Well, I will remind everybody that the Stag's Leap District's wines tend to be more Bordeaux-esque. So the last one we really did was Clos de Vaux. Well, their Stag's Leap District, Cabernet. They don't make anymore. But, you know, so they made that. And remember, that was a very restrained style. And I would expect this to be somewhat, but that's far more Cabernet. It's what, 70 some percent?
Yeah, it's cab driven. This is Merlot driven. Merlot driven.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's something else in there.
Black licorice. These are all generic things that we normally throw out, so I'm not sure I'm finding anything earth breaking. You know, there is like a little bit of a foliage kind of dried leaves. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, you didn't say it.
It wasn't something generic. To me, it honestly has a touch of a funk smell in there.
Well, that's what I would...
That's fair.
Yeah, a little foresty. Is that what you mean?
It's just a nice nose.
It's a good nose.
Yeah.
Solid nose.
It's.
If I were flying a plane, I'd be happy to drink this while I was flying. Yeah. Although, I mean, in reality, he drank the Cabernet, not the Elevage, so...
still, this has
33%. He doesn't like a blend when he's. He wasn't even drinking out of a glass. Man, that motherfucker was drinking out of a bottle. That's awesome. Or terrible.
But he had 8 Miller Lights with it.
Yeah. That was in the wing. He drank that on the way. I'm not saying, yeah, he wasn't discerning. But
he drank those and then.
That's what the dogs drank.
Probably.
He fed the dogs.
Yeah.
See,
Bo drinks.
Bo's not the
fine Chianti.
Bo has that hideous rabbit again.
Yes, it does.
I found that rabbit's like tail upstairs and I thought it was a dead mouse.
It's disgusting. That's an easy.
Yeah. Mistake to make.
Yeah.
It's gross. Oh, you're drinking it. Okay.
Definitely tastes the Merlot influence.
Yeah, you can.
It's extremely chocolatey. Good fruit, but it's more. It's a ton of chocolate driven. Maybe a little bit of cherry fruit, but so much.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate on that mid palate, and then it's very, very lush and tannic as it goes along.
And that cherry just pops at the end of the mid palate. It just pops.
Yeah.
Unusual placement for that.
Mm.
The chocolate also lends itself a little bit to almost a chalk texture when you're drinking it.
Yeah, as it leads into the tannin.
Mm-hmm. Well-structured. The front palate is savory fruit. And then the chocolate's just ever-present. And then that pop of cherry is so new. It just comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It just pop.
I rarely use this term. It's a generous wine. It has a mouthfeel that's very inviting and rich. Lovely, lovely mouthfeel. But Stag's Leaps tend to have a very, very silky mouthfeel.
Would you say this is a silky mouthfeel?
Yes. Oh, yes.
To me, I think it's for sure an elevated mouthfeel. To me, there's so much texture from the chocolate that I couldn't say silky.
I find it to be, but it's probably, I wonder if it's probably French oak. I don't see that.
I mean, it's a really nice mouthfeel.
That would impart, I didn't say, the website didn't have shit, but.
This is a really, it's a really good wine. Mm-hmm. It's a really good wine. It's also a little bit peculiar. Like, it just tastes different. Like, I don't know, it just tastes different to me. To me, it is a more memorable drink because it has some peculiarities to it. To me,
well, that just that cherry popping up out of nowhere. If it were just that is unique about this wine.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mouthfeel does a couple different things. I think it starts off silky, but then you get that little. One of the two of you said chalky. Where that chocolate comes across, it's like not like a milk chocolate or a chalky chocolate, but almost like powdered chocolate.
Yeah, I was gonna say like little, a cocoa-y,
cocoa-y thing.
Baker's chocolate sometimes.
So I think the mouthfeel does kind of changes from the front to the back of the wine.
Sure,
but it's not the longest thing, but it's long enough.
It isn't a wildly long wine, but you're really pleased with what's there. It's like, you know, and it's not the drinkability. We always come back to that.
Yeah.
It's so lovely. I mean, it has a very soft, pleasing way about it.
Are you getting, I feel like on the finish, I'm getting a little bit of cedar, but not like I expected
just
it to be.
Just fair. Kiss. Fair.
Mm-hmm. The oak is present, but it's not a major component. It's not overtly in your face at all.
At all.
Mm-mm, no.
Yeah, it does make me think.
Oh, my.
It does make me think it's French oaking. I don't know that you could attain this with.
I would say with
a lot of American.
The mouthfeel also, I think that's normally imparted by French oak.
Yeah. Oh, it's so tannic. It's really,
it's,
really.
And it's I think the astringency is kind of building. The dryness is building on me. It's like it's like kind of like a hot pepper thing where you just it, the hot pepper builds the more you consume whatever you're eating, and then it just stays with you. The astringency is kind of staying with me in a nice way. Really well put together.
Oh, yeah.
The drinkability's off the hook. It's way on the high end of the drinkability scale.
Yeah.
Do you think drinkability, do you mean like you could drink 10 bottles of it or that everyone would like it?
A combination of the two, really.
Yeah.
Maybe what everybody likes is more approachability, but it kind of goes hand in hand with drinkability.
Right? If I drank enough of this, I'd believe I could fly a plane.
Will you give me another splash?
It's just spectacularly good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now.
If only I had more of this. Oh, I do. I know.
Did you just buy all that Kroger had?
Yeah. But they only had 2 bottles, though. Sorry. They don't carry it anymore. I don't see it that often, but it is more expensive. Sometimes you can see it sneak into the 80s and 90s. I mean, that's the winery price, is like $110, but you see it sometimes. And that's worth, but then again, you get in that range. There are a lot of great wines that are that are the similar mindset to this wine in that it's a very competitive price range. I mean, Napanook is right there, too. I mean, it's $89. I mean,
a Merlot blend?
I think that's more Cabernet.
Okay.
But, you know, but half of that, you're like Ferrari Granos Terrasor. I don't know if they still make that, but the 16 vintage, they don't have that. But that's more, once again, that's 73% Cabernet, I think, roughly, depending on the vintage. Yeah, the Merlot, though, dominated. You know, what's the TD9 from Stag's Leap? I wonder what that has. I think that's Merlot-driven. That's actually a good value when you consider.
So they have a TD9 as well. Schaefer. Oh,
I'm sorry, Schaefer. Schaefer. I meant to say Schaefer. Yeah,
that's. I was just looking at that's $120.
Yeah. What, Schaefer?
The TD9 Schaefer, right?
No, that's 0.5 or 1.5 or whatever. The TD9 is the Bordeaux blend, similar to this. I think it's more low based, and it's 69, which that's kind of an appealing price when you think about it. If it's similar in quality to this,
at $60.
That's an interesting wine, and that makes you stop, because Schaefer is one of the top level Merlot producers, and so that's interesting. And Cab producers, that makes that wine. So this wine makes you say, I wonder what that's like.
The current vintage of the Schaefer TD9 is more than 50% Cab.
Is it? That's interesting. So folks, go buy that. Oh, no, I'm just saying.
Easy.
No, but this whole genre of Bordeaux-style blends from Napa, and when you even get more Appalachian-specific like this is Stag's Leap, you get some really, really interesting wines. And the thing is, it has winks and nods to Bordeaux, right? But it has the approachability of well-done California wine. But this is the thing. I prefer this over like a big Napa Cab because it isn't over-oaked.
It's fact.
But that's also Stag's Leap a little bit. But it's not over-oaked. It just is letting the wine speak for itself. They're not manipulating it overtly. It's very, very nicely
done. I love Stag's Leap.
Yeah.
I mean, Artemis is one of my favorite wines. It just is.
Mm-hmm. Is that all Stag's Leap grapes?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, this Stag's Leap wine.
Would you say this wine, to me, I was trying to decide the body, what I think the body is. I feel like it's pretty heavy, medium to full.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you would say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The softness, I mean, sometimes we kind of, it's a big full body because it's a hard-edged powerhouse wine, where this has softer edges.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's definitely a richness in the mouthfeel. It's weighty, but it's not one that is a brute. You know, it has an elegance, but then again, that's what Stag's Leap does. I mean, it has elegance.
Yeah, it's definitely full bodied. It's not the biggest full body. You know,
no.
On our 10-point scale, 7.4.
Sure,
it's full bodied.
Yeah,
but it's not.
Well, something like Harlan would be 10, or you know, it would be 9s and 10. So you're talking like big, massive, huge things. You cannot drink straight out of the bottle. You have to sit for 15, 20 years before you even touch them.
Unless you're Patrick Swayze.
You just drink that fucking thing out straight out of the bottle. I wonder if he took, I imagine. Yeah, because he just has it in the damn, do they even have cup holders in planes?
Sure, you can have a couple.
In my dream of this situation, it's like between his legs, and he's just like taking a swig. Don't you feel like that?
I didn't know he was that raging of an alcoholic, but apparently he was.
What would make someone?
Yeah, why would you say that?
Get on a plane. And
I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to, you know, label him, but I'm just
what
saying.
What year did that happen?
2000.
It's been a minute. Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it was hell. When did he start? Was it cancer, right?
He had pancreatic cancer.
But when did that? When did he pass away? Scott, your research.
About 10 years ago, I think.
What?
It's been a while.
It's been 10 years.
Or been longer.
Oh my gosh! I would have said the last 5. Wow. Is Scott our new intern?
He is.
September 14, 2009.
Okay,
wow. He passed away before we met.
Yeah,
20 months after his cancer diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
I remember. '80s Patrick Swayze. He ain't doing that because he was like obsessive. There was like a what was it? Who was the story? I think it was Rob Lowe. Maybe was it Rob Lowe? Anyway, somebody was being interviewed about Patrick Swayze, and he was like. He was the most intense dude he'd ever been around. So he'll be like up all night, like doing sit-ups and making like demo tapes. And the next day he'd want you to listen to his demo tape. Oh. He hadn't slept. And you're like, no, dude, I don't want to listen to your demo tape. Because it was like, I don't remember what movie they were on. It was like
but Point Break they were on together, at least that.
Well, it was Lost Boys and like that. And he wanted to have like, She's Like the Wind. It's like, dude, I don't think that this is that kind of movie, man. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to. I think it was Rob Lowe. Somebody like that was being interviewed. It was pretty great. It was Rob Lowe, yeah. It's funny. So he's all like, hadn't slept all night, all wired up. It's like, dude, listen to my mixtape or this tape I made last night. I was like, no.
Well, it's kind of like he almost had like an obsessive personality.
Yeah, slightly. Yes, he's very intense. Yeah.
So this wine is a bit peculiar in its taste profile and its flavor profile. What would you serve this with? What food?
If the beef was well marbled, you know, not a strip steak, filet. It would do well with filet.
I think you could. About do anything with this. Yeah. You could do stewed meat. You could do steaks. I agree. I don't know how well it'd hold up to a ribeye, but
I was thinking depends on how you prepare chops.
That'd be great.
Pork chops would be great with a little char on those. That would be nice. Short ribs, maybe.
I'm also just really partial to pork chops, but I feel like that would be.
Mm-hmm.
It would go good with mango chutney, red snapper. It would be lovely. Have you ever had mango chutney, Scott?
With red snapper, actually.
If I was going to make you a birthday cake, I would make it out of mango chutney.
Oh, God bless you, Wolf.
I don't really know how I would do that. Maybe filling? I would have like a layer cake.
I'll bet you'd have filling.
That's right. And you know what? After I'd make it all, I'd jump out of the cake. That'd be right. You would like that part, I think. It'd be a big fucking cake, but I would do it.
Well, it'd be a big cake.
That's right. And I'd be wearing my sweatpants just for you.
Are you sure you'd wear your sweatpants?
Well, they're a little loose. So when I flew out the cake, they might fall down around my ankles. But it'd be embarrassing. But hey.
You're used to it.
That's right. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to me.
Do you want to blow out the candle?
Do you want to talk about the salami we're eating tonight?
Oh, good segue. You look like you're shocked, Scott.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, absolutely not.
Can't imagine you didn't realize that's where that was going.
Anyway. Oh, the
can't imagine that Rebecca didn't know that where that was going.
Happy birthday to me.
No. Let me know when I have to stop doing it. Anyway, the salami, we got it from a local place, and this is Goose. We're not
the
very good.
The butcher and the grocer.
Yes, but this brand.
Oh,
it's the
brand.
Dodge City, I think, salami. And it's the fat on this sucker.
It's so good.
It's like it's $19.99 a pound, and she's been slicing it for days. I set it real thin. It's like this is only 3/4 of a pound, and we have so much salami, it's ridiculous. I have another layer of this upstairs. It's paper
thin.
Did she
ask you how? Yeah, I was gonna ask.
I said very thin.
That was gonna be my question. It is really good thin. I just would like to try it in different ways because it's really good. The fennel on it's really good.
Oh, yeah.
The fat in it is really good.
Well, it almost just like melts in your mouth.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's nice.
So Rob and Luke went in to the grocer. Uh-huh. And there's a restaurant like the Cleaver?
I think it must be the associated with that
yeah.
place because it's the same.
Yeah. And there's like a yarn shop in Grandview. I mean, it's like a cool area anyways, mm-hmm. right? They're putting in a new coffee shop. And across the street was a playground. And so Maggie was asleep and I took Henry and William across the street to play. And it was very much like this. I texted Paige actually because I felt very much like we were in a city where Rob was like in a shop, the kids were at the playground across the street, you know, like that vibe. It was a really, really cool vibe. I had to get back in the car though because my hair froze. It was that cold. It was like 10 degrees outside.
Yeah.
But it was a cool, mm-hmm. it was very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I liked
it. We're fortunate in our fair city to have many little places where you can get artisanal meats.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Specialty foods from not necessarily different ethnicities, but people put their little spin on traditional right. dishes. We're very fortunate in Central High. Oh, we have yeah. a lot of creative folks.
Yeah.
And just the local butchers coming back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they have, could you get steaks and things of that sort?
No, they had everything.
Right on.
A little pricey. Like their filet was, not that I'm advocating buying filet, it was $39.99 a pound.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was amazing, though.
It looked better good.
Yeah.
Yeah, ribeye, stuff like that was $25 a pound. Okay. I think, you know? So.
And their wine selection was good.
Yeah, well, they had the 3 different Turleys.
Wow.
Uber Ruth, Pacenti, and I don't recall the other.
The D one.
Maybe Douchey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the one.
And they had black chicken. So Robert Bialy.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Hungarian butcher? Is that what it's called?
Something like a Hungarian grocer or butcher.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I was looking up butcher shops, because I was like, this is where we need to go to a butcher shop for Scott's birthday. That's like what I had in my mind.
Oh.
And so I found this one and I was like, if this one doesn't work out, I think it's called the Hungarian butcher.
Mm-hmm.
That was my next thought on it.
Mm-hmm. So we got some salami.
It's delicious.
And I got you some Robert Bialy.
Bialy.
I didn't do that. No.
The Hungarian butcher. It's near Cameron's in Linworth.
Yes.
Hmm. I don't know about that spot.
Doesn't it look good, though?
Yeah. Handcrafted, locally sourced, aged meats. Butcher, Columbus, really? Ohio.
Hmm, I'll try that out.
Yeah, that's what I...
Aged meats.
Ooh. Ooh. The pictures on the website look delicious.
Scott's a sucker for aged meats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a little aged myself, so yeah, what can I say?
Yes.
Yeah, I just like it a little more tender.
I've never looked at the. Ooh, that looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got a nice
meat case. They have meat case.
Yeah.
I don't see a picture of the meat case though.
Lower on the front page.
Yeah. Oh. The place that we went to, they supply a lot of other like small owned business restaurants, which I think is pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, they're not cheap either, are they? Well, they have Wagyu, wow.
What does it say for their pricing?
$33 for strips for a pound, which, that's above the going rate for Columbus Market, but that's all right.
But from a
something that
artisanal
I'll say,
butcher,
though,
I would say you're going to pay in that range.
Yeah, we have had some...
Maybe the 20s.
Sub,
yeah, it's a little... Yeah.
Like when you go obviously, when you go to a butcher, it is a billion times better than when you go to Kroger, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what did we have that was not good? What was the last meat that we had that wasn't good? Our ribeyes were good. What was the one we had before that that I didn't? Anyways, when you have something that's not good, you've just thrown your money away. Oh, you know what I mean?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, a lot of their stuff is hit and miss.
And like, I feel like the past couple of times, it's been like the, not the fat, it's been like tendony.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sinewy. Yeah. And some of that stuff, they freeze it, then they thaw it, then they cook. You have to see the thing for me. Unless it's on sale, you know, like we had bone-in ribeyes from Kroger for, but they're $11.99 a pound. So you're like, okay, reasonable price. They had no tenderloin, though. I mean, at all. They had lots of strip, which I don't want to strip from there at all. But
No.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, first of all, we have Scott's birthday, so we have a little gift for Scott. Just a little memento, a little token of our esteem.
Well, I'm going to go straight in.
Oh, well, good. We originally were going to have a show that led into this, but that's going to be down the road, I think, yet. So, this, though, in and of itself, for Scott, he needs something that he can let grow old with him for a little bit. And so I decided that would be important, but something that he doesn't have any of. And so, you know, I said, what is Scott's personality? Well, he can be a sweet person, and he's dainty.
Dainty.
Yes, dainty.
I was dainty tonight when I let the dog attack me.
That's true. That bottle. And you went, oh. So anybody that's dainty and sweet, they need a little bit of this in their life. And it's his favorite producer, mind you. Well, but ignoring that this gentleman makes good wines, too. And this is one of those. I didn't know it would be that hard to open.
It is that hard to open. Dr. Lucin, Weyliner, Sonnier, Riesling, Auslese. Mosel.
Mm-hmm. Robert Parker provides that 94 of his points.
Very nice.
And predicts its ageability out to about 20 years.
Wow.
I know.
It's got a beautiful, almost like a cigar case.
Mm-hmm. A little split. Perfect for a few years down the road saying, you know what? Let's have ourselves a fine dessert. Oh, it's not dessert wine, but it is an Auslese. So we do have, folks, some old-ass German wines to come. I did not do those tonight because I wanted to do a red, but we have old John Joseph Prum, and one is one of those.
Okay.
They're Auslese, and also we have a Spätlese, but that's okay.
I'm excited. 20 years, huh?
Yeah, up to. Yeah, I'd say another 10 to 15 would be lovely. It'd be a lovely wine.
Right on.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
And you take that like port?
Yeah, it's Riesling, man.
Okay.
Sweet Riesling, but nevertheless, mineral-driven, right lithy, fantastic. You'll find out. Or won't you? Will you live to see the day?
Will it live to see the day? Will Bo come to my house and attack it?
Well, he doesn't know about that because that's sweet. And he'd be like, what? I love the Chianti.
He does.
I know. So here's the question for tonight's show. Since we're celebrating Scott's elder years, what wine would you think would you risk aging that we've had recently?
Oh, gosh, that's hard. Would you risk aging?
Yeah, what wine, say, let me just throw out a few. Say we're talking about like the Edge. There's
I've
one.
Been out of the country recently, so it's hard for me to.
You heard it, folks. Like the Edge, Gunlock Bunchu, all that kind of stuff. The Dow, the Chateau Bourdieu, although we drank that, Becky didn't. But she's had it, I think.
It would be. I think the one for sure we talked about was like the Gunlock Bunchu. Yeah. We felt like 5, 6, 7 years you could put on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not 10, 15.
No.
And the Edge, we talked about it, but it's really just hold it a couple of years.
I actually, I believe you can age the Edge and you can hold the Gunlock. Yeah. Hmm. The difference
drink
between
or hold.
Yes, the difference between Alexander Valley and just standard Sonoma.
And we did a 17, we've had the 18, and the 17 held up well.
Mm-hmm. Well, 17's not that old.
It's not that old, but it didn't show signs of weakening.
Well, one thing I would say, definitely, in the value-priced range, what are you doing? I mean, I think we've always talked about this. It's like, I've got a cellar and I've got it filled with value-priced wines. And you're like, well, I mean, that's not really what a cellar's for. But there are some that can develop. I think Edge will develop. I think you taste and you say, not what will this be in 15 years because I want to then sell it at auction. Because that's funny. No, you go, is this wine a little bit tight yet? Do I need to give it time to suss out? That's the difference.
And does it have the structure? Does it have the tannins? Does it have something to unveil?
Yes.
In time. Because wines are going to calm down. They're going to thin out. It's not the right word.
No,
you don't understand that, think of it that way. That some of the bigger components of the wine are going to back off a little bit. Hopefully, if you've got something that's ageable, revealing something of merit there. Subtle fruits become more apparent.
Yeah,
perhaps,
like,
potentially.
I mean, this guy, I've had it in my cellar probably for 4 years, maybe. 3, 4 years, I think, maybe. But it's definitely not current vintage. I mean, current vintage, I think, is 19 on this second. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what they're saying, cellar selection, wine enthusiast says drink now through 2023. Okay. Its release was probably 2016, 2017. And so that's not even that big a drinking window for a very expensive wine.
Right.
Partly because I think the Merlot, I mean, we're not talking about French Merlot, you know, Saint-Emilion and that and you know, Pomerol, and those kind of places where you have really ageable Merlot. Cali Merlot, it just isn't. Look at the ageability of any Merlot in California. It ain't there.
It's not 10 years.
No, even the highest reviewed ones aren't. I mean, you hold Duckhorn for a couple years, 3 years. You don't hold it for 10. You know, same thing with Schaefer or Paloma or any of those. Only the grandest of grand. And I don't. Is there a grandest of grand? I mean, there have been in the past. I've had great vintages of, like I said, Paloma. You know, getting wine of the year, getting 95, 96 points. But other than that, you have very, very good ones. Like Whitehall Lane. Their 18 got 93 from the Spectator. I didn't buy it. I don't know why I didn't buy it. I just didn't.
We liked Pride an awful lot. We got those little
half
bottles of the Merlot. It was so good.
But is it something that you're going to, and we just drank the last of that.
Could you put it back for 3, 4 years? Okay.
Yeah, but
more than that.
But it calls into question.
Why?
I mean, it's lovely, but I mean, I've had their Cabernet, and that's not even. I wouldn't even say that their Cabernet is one that I would hold for 5 to 7 years. There's no real reason to.
Right.
I mean, it's ready to go now. Hell, even some Camuses we've had, they need a couple more years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But not all these high end stuff does. Heights, you should probably.
Yeah.
Stag's Leap, probably. I mean, there's some of these wines that you probably should hold, even if it's in the grocery store. Right now, think of like you're at Kroger, okay? Just the regular Kroger. What ones do you think you'd have to hold for a little bit? I mean, you're not going to hold the Dow.
No.
I mean, you could wait to drink it for 2-3 years, but you're not going to hold it. They don't really have Mondavi anymore. Mondavi, their Napa stuff, has always been things I think that need time.
The middle to upper end Mondavis.
Hell no, just the basic Napa now is $40.
Yeah.
It used to be in the 20s. But even then, we've had like the base Napa, and it's always too young. We just had, Becky and I just had 13. I had held it for, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years. And we had it, I think, in 2021. It was fine. It was ready to drink, but not. It was not old. It tasted like a solid, really solid Napa cab. And that's that was a $27 bottle of wine. But, you know, when we've had it other times, we've had it on the show. I don't know if it aired, but it was not ready to drink. Matter of fact, we gave it a provisional review because we're like, you know, this stuff is, this is just tannin juice, you know?
Yeah.
Hell, when we've had KJ before, their Vintner's Reserve Cabernet, we're like, is this a little young yet? We didn't say that about like their Alexander Valley, and I certainly didn't say that about their Sonoma Reserve, which is awful, but, you know. It's weird how that all kind of come. But we're looking up here. Like,
you mentioned right off the top, the two we've had recently that have really any potential for 3 or 4 years. I would say the Gunlock Bunchu and the Edge.
Oh, I forgot. Penley Estate. That needs time.
Yeah, but just a couple years.
Oh, that's a beastly bastard. I mean, Spectator has that out to aging out to 2040.
Yeah, I think they're on crack.
Well, I mean, that's way too long. But wouldn't you, at $17.99, hold a bottle of C, assuming that you live that long? But, you know.
I don't think it makes it.
The label would fall off. I mean.
What? Yeah.
No, I don't think it does either. Only in the coldest of cellars, but. I don't know. I don't really know what the I mean, there are certain wines that the classic wines. I mean, we're talking classics. And then rare examples of other really good wines that last 50 years. Okay, 60 years. Very rare. But those things have always. Those things were, think of it this way, born and bred to do that with. So it's in the coldest of climate-controlled cellars with the intention of that. And, you know, they weren't jostled. Yeah. So you really have, you're threading a needle when you do that. Not to say, but, and also, when you pull wines out that are of that age, you have a different drinking experience. We've had stuff that, 20 some years old.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that. Those are wondrous wines. But it is a different drinking experience. The Smithold Lafitte was a good example where, I mean, a lot of the fruit was gone. But it was mouthfeel, it was minerality, it was complexity, but it wasn't fruit-driven complexity. Yeah. Wondrous wine. But the fruit was gone.
Yeah.
And so you had to latch onto other things. The one that wasn't like that was the Pointe Canet.
Right.
Where it had everything in a bag of chips. You know?
But it wasn't...
And a bag of chips. And
quite as chips. Old as the...
No.
Oh, Lafitte, though, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it was still, well, that was last year, so it was 19 years old. Yeah, so. But we also did, remember, we did Penfolds, St. Henri.
Oof.
And that was in 1998, and that son of a bitch was a beast. An absolute beast.
So good.
So good, I bought, I think, a 16.
Nice.
On sale. Well, it wasn't on sale. They didn't know what they had. Again, same place that I bought this.
How dare they.
They don't know what they're doing. I mean, because that is like 100 and, I don't know, 10. I think I got it for 45 or something. They just had one bottle. But, hey, man, they lose some money on the deal. That's their problem. I don't care. So, folks, we're going to take a break and then be right back here on the Wine Vault. Thank you. And we're back, folks. So, the 2013 Chimney Rock Elevage. I always want to say Elevage, but there's no little tilde.
I think you can say it Elevage if you want
but
to.
But it's Elevage. I checked it out.
Elevage.
Elevage. Which
it just doesn't sound as prominent.
It doesn't. Elevage.
Elevage.
But it's not Elevage. We're going to go over to Triple B. And we're going to get...
my review?
Yes.
Elevage is like some type of horse competition.
We're going to correct it.
That involves jumping through fences and hoops.
That's steeplechase.
Elevage.
No, it's not.
What's the thing that... is that steeplechase that you do where you run and you do hurdles and you jump over water?
That's if you're on a horse.
What's the running one?
I don't know.
You mean the person runs?
I don't know.
Oh.
The person that fell off their horse.
No. There's like a track.
It might be called steeplechase. Look that up, Scott.
No, I know what
he has become
about.
Our intern.
He is our intern.
I think it's called the decathlon.
No, decathlon is just a long run, 26 miles, 26.3 miles.
No, that's a marathon.
Decathlon, I think, has swimming.
No, decathlon's multiple. Decathlon's 10 events.
I think it's called a steeplechase, actually.
I can't believe that on his birthday episode, Scott became the intern.
He always was the intern. Because he has a...
Well, what's, the race, what's the one that Bruce Jenner did?
That's decathlon. He was
decathlon. It's Caitlyn Jenner.
He was Bruce Jenner when she was Bruce Jenner when they won the awards.
Well, just, I mean, let's have the proper pronouns on this show. So we are on the Quad Pod Network, so, you know. Be sensitive.
Yeah, the steeplechase is, but I don't think that's the one they run through the water.
Well, you're not supposed to run through the water.
No,
to jump
there's
over the
one
water.
Where you jump over a fence and there's water. There's a trough of water.
Isn't that foxing?
What?
Were you chasing
No. Runners in the steeplechase are required to vault over all barriers and water jumps.
Yeah, see steeplechase.
Yeah,
suck it. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, a decathlon is...
it's the 10 events.
Yeah, the 100-meter dash, long jump, the shot put. So is it? It is a steeplechase.
Javelin.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have javelin anymore.
In the decathlon? Yeah,
yeah, steeplechase is what I'm thinking of, where you have to jump over water.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Is it? I mean, that's like a Saturday night for
it's
Scott.
It's a foot race over an obstacle course that includes obstacles like water ditches, open ditches, and fences.
That's right.
It is like a drunken Saturday night run.
It's like I've been vandalizing somebody's house run.
So weird.
I'm not saying I've ever done that, but
might have been a condo.
I remember I had a friend named let's give him a pseudonym, Smadam, and Smadam was trying to climb over this fence and stepped on it and snapped it in two. So Smadam Limeferg, that Smadam Limeferg did that. Yeah. See, a pseudonym.
They still have the javelin. It's not banned.
Okay, good. Well, it's only banned if you're standing in front of the javelin, so there's nothing wrong
with
it. It's
still a recognized event.
Yes. I like to throw sticks.
It is so weird.
Wilford, you know, you weren't very good at the javelin, were you? You kept trying to catch it.
I throw them
run
at hobos.
Run and throw a pointed stick. Can you imagine if the Dern family boys learned about javelin? William has a stick collection in the garage and Rob threw it out.
I didn't throw it out. I burnt one. It's a snake crusher.
Snake breaker.
Yes, he had named them.
Yeah, snake breaker is burnt.
Okay.
Lukey, you stand down there and catch the javelin when I throw it.
Yeah. Can you imagine with a knife out there sharpening it up? Goodness.
You know, there's this game, parlor game, I like to call it. It's called Catch the Javelin, but it's a little bit different.
Right.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Did you tell Scott about when we watched Clue? William's reaction? So when we play Clue as a family, as a board game, Rob invented a character for William to play.
Yeah.
Where he's the serial killer. And he gets to move all around and kill anybody he wants. That's his whole thing. He rolls and he can kill anyone. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we watch, we watch the movie Clue. William is almost in tears at the end that there's no serial killer character.
He wanted the characters, like the main characters, Professor Paul, he wanted them to die.
It's like, he wanted everybody.
It's like, that's not what, we're not, it's not a slasher film, you freak.
the freak. You're the one who taught him that.
Well, he is. Yeah. Rob was like, we would have to watch like Texas Chainsaw Massacre to fulfill like what he thought Clue was. It's not his fault, though. You had portrayed that to him.
You allowed him to be the serial killer in the game.
Yeah. I mean, that is his title in the game, is serial killer.
Well, that's his title. So, Triple B, what is your numerical score?
Okay. So, I just wrote down on my notes, the chocolate is so good. Mm. It really, really is. Cherry's not my favorite. I'm not a big fan of cherry, but I do really, really like this. But just in general, that would, if I read cherry, that's not like my fave. The tannins are exceptional. I am a really big fan of the chalk texture, like I had mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. But a reason I did give this like a 1 point extra bump, because to me it's a very memorable wine.
It is.
And it has a unique palate to it, and that's not something after you've drank however many bottles of wine that we've drank on the show. Saying it's memorable is really a major thing to say about a wine. And so I mean that with like the highest compliment that I can give that comment. So I give it a 91. Oh, we didn't do scores of integrity.
Scott doesn't have any of that. So on to Scott.
I totally did it.
I'm at 92.
92 of your points.
92 of my points. I was between 91 and 92. And I do love the texture of this. That silkiness that lends itself over. And it has that texture that... And normally when we would say something's chalky, you'd think, oh, that doesn't sound very pleasant. This is just a... It's like a chalkiness inside this silky wine. I don't know that that makes sense, but that's what it's like. Yeah. There's just this dusty texture about it that comes across through the chocolate. And that is so wonderful how the chocolate blends with that chalkiness.
Yeah.
And for me, I love that cherry pop. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why I'm popping it up to 92. It's got this great structure, and then there's that unusual little cherry pop.
Yep.
Love the astringency from the Merlot. The well done, the oaking is soft and wonderful. Just as you said, memorable. It's a standout wine. I'm at 92.
And then on to me. So I had to.
I knew he was going to say, and on to me for the correct score.
I had to search my feelings for this wine.
Your feelings?
My feelings. It's about feelings.
He did look away. He gets a little emotional when he looks away.
Are you having emotions?
I'm having a sacred emotion, just like Donny Osmond did.
I get so emotional.
That's right. So, the thing that I enjoy most about this wine is the mouthfeel and the chocolate. The chocolate is one of the more pronounced expressions of chocolate. And quite frankly, we love chocolate. The Merlot shines through so well. It makes you want to drink their Merlot. But also makes me want to drink their Cabernet while I'm flying a plane. Yeah. It makes me really want to do that. I mean, almost this wine gets like 7 points just because of that story. I don't know why. That's the best wine story there is.
Well, I certainly hope he took care of those three guys that caused him to not go to jail.
Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them. They're rule breakers, man.
They're the rule breakers.
Fuck them. Man, he gave him a swig off the chimney.
Justice
rock.
Was served.
Damn straight. Swift Southern justice. But I feel this wine is very, very well done. Excellent wine. Bravo. And I'm giving it 92 of my points.
Mm.
Hall of Fame. Special designation. It goes up on the shelf. Really something I'm glad that we drank.
Which shelf?
I didn't ask you, Scott. You don't get to choose.
I don't think it makes it to the shelf.
It does.
Where are you going to move?
What was the last thing you put on the shelf that I poo-pooed?
I don't care what you poo-poo.
What was the last thing you put on there that I poo-pooed? Oh.
I'm knocking Camus off there, by the
way. I would say, what's the second?
It was the French. No, it wasn't the French.
Oh, no, the Chateau Le Prat has to stay up
Well,
there.
No, but I don't think I was here for that. Is that the most recent?
No. The Gaison is probably. Mm. Yeah. No. The Chateau Le Prat has to stay up there. I was for a wine under $20. It was one of the best wines we ever had for under $20. It really was
fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, it was. Fair. It was as good as this. Harder, but still, this probably obviously will prove out to be better. But still, I have a lot of that too, so I'm very happy about that.
Oh, the Chateau Le Prat.
Oh yeah, so I need to drink some of that sometime by myself. Fine wine. Well done, Chimney Rock. Bravo. And you know what? I can't rule out buying something else that's similar to this from someone else. It's a little bit less expensive. So I appreciate it. just say there's a lot of things you could buy that are great that are this type of blend from California. Well, similar. So Napanook, the TD9 from Schaefer. Those are ones really. I mean, if you can find this one in the 70s to 80s, buy it. Really buy it. But look for Bordeaux style blends from top producers that are sub 100. You're going to get some great wines. Really great wines for special occasions. Napanook is a little bit beyond special occasion wine. That is a collecting wine. I have that too. But the TD9 is something that this wine has piqued my interest in that. Because you kind of scoff at Schaefer saying, oh, you guys are too expensive. But then you see this, and you're like, well, this is a wonderful wine. But if you bought that, which is reviews better than this, you go, that might be a value. I mean, it might be special. But wouldn't you rather, I mean, I enjoy this. If you bought this in the 70s to 80s, great wine. Imagine, and this is after 9 years, and really where they're saying the peak ageability is. I think it's great. I think it's a great wine. I bought it for $37, which was an amazing price. If you could buy a case of it at that, you should buy 10 cases.
Napanook, 90 bones, brother.
Yeah, I know. I know what it costs. But at the same time, Napanook is very, very special.
97 from Jimmy, 94 from Jeb Dunnick. 93 from Bobby Parker's Wine Advocate.
And that's the baby Dominus, which just got Wine Spectator's Wine of the Year and has like 3 or 4 100s. But it's $400 and some too.
So. The real Dominus.
Well, Dominus, yes. Baby is Napanook. I remember back when Dominus cost like $100 and Napanook was $42. Hmm. But guess what always was very expensive? Chimney Rock. Chimney Rock has been high, we're floating around 100 forever, pretty much, for the last 25 years. So that's where they live. They live in that price range. They are a high-end producer that makes very, very solid, good wines, and you're never going to go wrong by picking one up and having it for a special occasion. So Chimney Rock, tip of the cap. Even though I wouldn't give a tip of the cap to Dow.
You didn't give a tip of the cap.
No, but I gave him a smack on the ass. What do you want?
Why wouldn't you give them?
I'm not giving them a tip of the cap.
Yeah, I know.
I'll cup their buttocks and give them a little squeeze.
Give them a thrill. Maybe you should put Wilford's voice on there and give him a tip of the
cap. I'll give him the tip. Just the tip. Get my drift. Yeah.
Your drift, huh?
Yeah, happy birthday to you, Scott.
Your drift.
When are you going to open your present? I wrapped it for you.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's ribbed for your pleasure.
Jump out of the cake, Wolfram.
So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.